All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you guys for all coming. My name is Kyle Russell. I'm a graduate student at Texas Tech University, and I'm going to go over some of the research that we did in Lubbock, Texas, looking at dicamba-tolerant cotton's response to low rates of 2,4-D. So the problem that's been observed all across the nation at this point is off-target movement of auxin herbicides, but specifically for this trial of 2,4-D. There's three types of off-target movement, whether it's tank contamination, particle or vapor. All of them are different ways they get to the plant, but the implications are very similar, whether it's shifts in bull production, yield loss, or decreased fiber quality. Some of the previous research that's been done already, dating back to 2009 with Everett and Keeling, they used four different rates of 2,4-D at earlier growth stages, starting at cotyledon stage all the way up to first bloom. Dr. Bird did a trial across the cotton-growing region, looking at five different rates of 2,4-D at two different timings. And then most recently, Buell et al. At Mississippi State looked at one different rate of 2,4-D at 17 different application timings. And he actually did a little bit of box mapping as well to see any bull distribution changes. So the objective of this trial was to determine changes to bull distribution in number, yield response following 2,4-D, as well as implications from fiber quality. So the hypotheses for this trial were that lint reductions will be most severe following the highest rates of 2,4-D. Bull distribution will shift from low nodes to higher nodes when 2,4-D is applied at early season. And then lastly, that fiber quality measurements will be influenced at early timings. As for how the trial was set up, it was a randomized complete block design with four replications. There were six different rates of 2,4-D that were used. Starting at a 1x rate, this would have been a correct application of 2,4-D on Enlist cotton, and then it goes all the way down to a 1/1000th X, so leaving potentially a gallon of solution in a 1,000-gallon sprayer. These six different rates were applied at four different growth stages, starting at first square plus 2 weeks, first bloom plus 2 weeks, and then first bloom plus 4 weeks. The plots were four rows wide, but only center two rows were sprayed, and that was just to try to minimize any influence you would have had from adjacent plots. We used Delta Pine 1822, which is Bolgard 2 Extend Flex cotton. Stats were run in SAS 9.4 using the Glimix procedure, and we did some box mapping as well. So I know this is kind of backwards, starting at yield first, but I think it's good to start there and then work our way back to kind of dissect exactly what we did and what we're seeing. On our y-axis, we have our pounds of lint that's being produced per acre. And on our x-axis, we've got our treatment or the rate of 2,4-D and then the timing that's associated with that. So starting all the way at our left side here, All the way on the left side is our untreated, which is what everything should be compared to. As we go from left to right, we're going to increase our rates of 2,4-D, and we're also getting later and later into the season. I think the most important things that we saw here are that regardless of timing or rate of 2,4-D, we saw significant yield reductions. And this is just 1 year's data, but that's what we've seen. Except for this 1/500x, which I believe to be an anomaly, but we'll see in future years when this research is repeated. The most significant yield losses come from our four highest rates, the 1/100th, the 1/50th, 1/10th, and 1x. The 1x treatment killed plants at the early season, but by the end of season or that application at first bloom plus 4 weeks, we still had maybe 400 pounds of lint, which is a little more than 50% reduction, but we were seeing some cotton being produced there. So I was not familiar with box mapping when I started, so I'm going to just go over a little quickly here to kind of help exactly have everyone understand exactly what I'm talking about. So we went out and took, that should be playing. But anyways, we went out and took a 5-foot sample out of the plot, took it out to the side of the field. You would take a plant that you saw from that sample, start at your cotyledons, and you'd work your way up. So for this plant here, our first bowl would have been on node 6, position 1. If I was box mapping this plant, I'd take that bowl, put it in the grid box that represents that, so you see exactly where that bowl is coming from. You do that until you get all the way throughout the plant. For this trial, all second and third position bowls are grouped together with first position bowls that are produced at the same time, so we can see exactly when the bowls are being produced. So to better explain that, I guess, is a bowl that's produced at node 9, position 1, is being produced at the same time as node 7, position 2, and node 5, position 3. The samples were then separated into four different categories, looked at their lower portions of the plant, so nodes below 8, then the middle portions of the plant, 9 through 11, then the top parts of the plant, 12 and above, And then finally, all vegetative growth. I know with 2,4-D, Bert had all reported that you'll get some forking. You're I guess, killing the main stem that's coming off, and you have vegetative branches that come out. And it's hard to tell exactly when those bolls are being produced. So we grouped all those together. So you saw them in the lint, but you didn't necessarily see them in those boll distribution changes. As for the results for the boll distribution changes, on our y-axis here, we've got our bolls that are produced out of a 5-foot sample. And on our x-axis, we have our nodes where the boll was being produced. So our untreated is this solid red line here, and that's what everything should be compared to. Now, we did see lint reductions at those early timing, even from a 1/1000th x, and we're seeing a change in the boll distribution. So we're retaining all these bolls in the bottom parts of the plant, but not at the top parts of the plant. As we increase the rate, we're seeing less bolls being produced at the top parts of the plant rather than at the bottom part of the plant. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into the next two timings, the first bloom and first bloom plus 2 weeks, but we saw yield increasing on those timings, so the boll distribution is also going to increase. We're producing more bolls at the bottom parts of the plant, but not necessarily at the top. I will, however, go over the last one, where we see very little separation until the very top part of the plant. Now, I'm going to try to direct you here if I can get this mouse to work. At the 1x rate, so this white line that's in here, it's really light gray. We're retaining all those bolls at the bottom parts of the plant, which would indicate historically or normally that these are going to be your most mature fibers. These bolls were set earliest on, they had the most time to mature, so they should be the best fiber that you're going to get from the plant. But when we look at results, we're seeing the opposite. So our micronaire is actually going from a 4.6 in the untreated down to a 2.5 from that last application timing. We also see decreases in our micronair at the 1/10x at the first two timings, first three timings on this one. So dropping down to a 3.5, it gets a little bit better because those bolls were a little more mature. And then finally, once we get out to first bloom plus 4 weeks, it's actually the same as our untreated. Similar story with length. We saw a decrease at our 1x treatment all the way at the end. I'm going to give up on this mouse here. In our earliest timing, the 1/10x, we saw a slight decrease, but by the second timing and the third timing, we actually saw no differences compared to our untreated. Lastly, with uniformity, we see very similar results as well. We see the biggest decrease at that 1x treatment from first bloom plus 4 weeks, a little bit of separation at the very first timing, but once you get to your third timing, there's actually no differences at all. So there's really two trains of thought as to what actually happened for this. So the first is going to be that the plant is just experiences so much stress that the bolls are just opening up. Can't reach maturity anymore. They're just opening up. The second is going to be that plant stress inhibits carbon partitioning to the boll, which then stops maturing of the fiber. So if I point out here, hopefully I can get this to work, that 28 days after, 4 weeks after first bloom, right in this area is right where we're affecting the most mature bolls. So everything else could be less than that, could just be getting set, going through pollination and everything. But at this point, this is all before fiber really starts to mature. You have your diameter set so far. Length could be set depending where that boll was at, whether it's at the bottom part or more towards the top. But we saw separation from that 1X treatment in our fiber length, indicating we are influencing that, even though some of these bolls could have potentially been at the at fiber or final length. But for the immature fibers, we just weren't maturing any further than what it was at this 28 days, when really it's just starting the maturing process at about 25 days or 24 days after anthesis. So to better describe that or to show a visual representation, I'm sure this is very difficult to see, but the untreated's on the left side here, and there's actually one cracked bowl that I could find after looking at this for probably 10 minutes. I found one here. But if I look over at the 1X rate, I see several bowls that are opened up. So that could be an indicator as to why we had a lot less mature fibers. And then secondly, going back to the carbon partitioning to the bowl, the picture here is a cross-section of a fiber. And the rings that you see are affected by day and nighttime temperatures. So daytimes are going to be more swollen. Nighttimes are the more close together. There's one ring in here right here where you see very little separation. This is like when a cold front would come in. So you're not partitioning as much carbon to your fiber, which is why you don't see the separation. So for us, when we're spraying 2,4-D on it, we could essentially be doing the exact same thing, not being able to partition carbon anymore, or we could just stop fiber from maturing whatsoever. So fiber matures from the outside in. It could be stopping at a quarter, a half, or three quarters of the way through, and it's just not maturing any further beyond that. So to conclude, our lint production was reduced at all rates and timings, excluding the 1/500x rate at first bloom plus 2 weeks. But once again, I think this is just an anomaly we'll see in future years. Bulb production was reduced following applications of 2,4-D. Micronair was decreased at the 1/10x rate for 2,4-D at first square plus 2 weeks and first bloom. And then the most significant change was at the first bloom plus 4 weeks. The 1x rate of 2,4-D decreased micronair from a 4.5 down to a 2.6. So going back to the hypotheses, the lint reductions were most severe following the highest rates of 2,4-D. That is accepted. We saw those greatest lint reductions at the beginning of the year. We were able to put some lint on those highest rates, but just not as much as the untreated, that is. Second one, a bull distribution will shift from low nodes to higher nodes when 2,4-D is applied early season. And this is partially true. There was maybe one or two bulls that were produced towards the top, but in general, there was no new bulls produced towards the top as there was with dicamba and similar research. And then lastly, fiber quality measurements will be most influenced at early timings. Once again, partially true, but overall rejected because the largest change to fiber quality measurements from that 1x rate at that last timing, where we did see some differences earlier on, but not as much at the end. As for future research, one thing we'd like to explore is looking at node of expression. So going back to that first timing, that first square plus 2 weeks, that might have been node 10 or 11, but if we sprayed the 1x rate, we might have saw injury on node 13, so the one right above it. But if we sprayed the 1/1000x, we might have seen it at node 16, node 17. So that's just something that we're looking to explore. And then another thing we're looking to explore is doing some APHIS testing. So this is just going to look at the short fiber content. This will give us a better idea of what's actually happening for our uniformity and length, and then as well as maturity as well. And with that, I'd like to thank all the graduate students who's helped me through this. That was a lot of work, but hopefully it was good research. All the funding sources, my advisors, and I'll take any questions at this time. Yes, sir. The question was, what type of 2,4-D did I use? And I used Enlist 1.
And one other question, how were you able to keep it from drifting onto your different pots? How were you able to keep it protected when you did spray and not use additional drift?
So the question was, how was I able to keep it from drifting onto other plots? So what we did, we just did a solution down from, let's say, a 1x, put so many mils into a 1,000 mil solution, and we used a 15 GPA carrier volume and use TTI nozzles. We only sprayed the center two rows, so that way if I could see plots that are adjacent rows that were seeing drift, I could throw that plot out altogether. Yes, sir.
Did you take visual ratings?
Yeah, the question is, did I take visual ratings? And the answer is yes. I just did not include it in here. So the question is, could I relate the damage I've seen with yield loss? And the question is, maybe. So, for example, that first the first square plus 2 weeks application, I applied a 1/1000x and saw about 30 to 40%, depending on the rep, injury at the top parts of the plant. There was a timing, the first bloom, which was 6 days later. That same rate, which resulted in the same yield, I only saw 5 or 10% injury. So it is variable just by timing. But I think if you knew exactly when your drift was, you could try to relate it to yield loss.
Thank you.
No, you're all right. No, it's all right.